You're listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're on Reality Check Radio. It's Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Well, it's been a while, but here's Politics Explained with Tane Webster. Tane, have you been busy or something?
Yeah, I've been busy with things. I've missed our show, so I'm glad to be back. Now, today's topic question, what is AUKUS, A-U-K-U-S, and why should New Zealanders care about it?
Well, what it is, as I understand it, is an agreement between the United States of America, Great Britain, and Australia to supply Australia with nuclear-powered submarines. Now, this is quite a big deal in the scheme of things, and we can only begin to imagine what was going on behind the scenes, because the Australians had contracted France, a French company, to supply them with nuclear-armed submarines, I think, but not powered. They were conventionally powered, from memory. And clearly, the Americans and the British took umbrage at this. I don't know whether it was just a business thing that why aren't you using our submarines? I don't know whether it was an interoperability thing that if we're going to work together in the Pacific, we need comparable gear. But Australia ended up signing up with the Americans and the British, and this was AUKUS, to purchase and be supplied for their submarine fleet, nuclear powered, and had to pay hundreds of millions to the French companies involved, because while the contracts had get out of jail clauses, they didn't come without financial cost. And so AUKUS now stands as an agreement between Australia, the US, and Great Britain to work together in the defence of the Pacific, and in particular, in the supply and use of submarines for the Australian government. So that's what it is. Now, that's called, I think it's, is it the Tier 1 agreement?
It's called, that's Pillar 1.
Pillar 1, that's right, Pillar 1. But the group have offered other countries Pillar 2, and in particular to New Zealand, whereby we can join AUKUS but not have to take the submarines. Obviously, it's an expense for New Zealand to be running a submarine fleet. And also, we're still a bit vexed over nuclear power. And so that's an opportunity for smaller nations to join into AUKUS and provide for, if you like, the American, Great Britain, and Australian defence of our ocean, the Pacific. Obviously, it's aimed at China, because China is expanding its power and its influence in the Pacific, not just in terms of foreign relations, but also militarily. And America is concerned. We've got a problem, because running through our foreign policy and our now DNA is an anti-Americanism, and the fear that we don't want to get dragged into American conflicts. But also, China is our number one trading partner, and there's an anxiety amongst foreign affairs officials and diplomats not to upset China, and us joining AUKUS no doubt would. So that's the background, and then there's the questions about what should we do. At the moment, New Zealand is totally dragging its feet about whether it's going to join or not. It's playing this sort of coy girl in the corner of the dance hall, saying, oh, no, 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 no. And probably annoying our traditional allies, because we won't get off the pot. I think
is it fair to say that there's sort of a overall left-right split on this, where the Labour is more hesitant or more against joining it, and the centre-right would be more in favour of joining Pilato?
Absolutely. So Labour, Helen Clark, Jacinda Ardern, all those Labour leaders, they weren't just wary of America, they hated it and all that it stood for, being white, imperialist, powerful, and so they despised it. And, of course, Britain they don't like because it was colonialist, so they hate them. And they don't like Australia either. And so they were against, don't like nuclear power and don't like weapons. So for them, there's nothing in this to like. I would say, from what I know of Mr. Peters, he would value our traditional ties with the United States and Great Britain and Australia. But as we know with Mr. Luxon and his senior ministers, they rather enjoy, like John Key did, straddling the middle and being a little bit lefty, shall we say.
Or playing it both ways.
Playing it both ways, and so they won't want to sign up to AUKUS. Winston Peters' officials will be warning against him because they're pro-China.
Who are these officials? You mean the staff in the
Ministry of Foreign Affairs is left-wing and very happy when Helen Clark's in office, and very pro-China and very anti our traditional allies, in my experience and my observation. And I think I should explain where I'm coming from, maybe, Tane, because this will upset possibly every listener, but let me be blunt. I'm probably the last of the Cold War warriors. I believe that the former Soviet Union was a threat to the security of the West and every nation. I believe that what kept us safe was being part of a military alliance, ANZUS. I felt that we didn't play our part or pay our way in terms of that alliance. That's not to say that we needed to join in with the Iraq wars. ANZUS allowed us an independent foreign policy and an independent stance. We could stay out, and we did. But I believe that in walking away from ANZUS, we diminished our ability to be a secure nation. And while the left like to think that conflict is a thing of the past, that's not the experience of history. It's always possible for...
The only thing preventing conflict is having a lot of strength.
That's the lesson of history. That to ensure peace, prepare for war. There's an old, a Greek saying, I think. And so I thoroughly agree with that. And, of course, when you're a little country, you have to hook your wagon to a larger ally in order to be secure. And while I have difficulties with our government, with the American government, with the UK government, at least they have the backbone and bones of freedom and democracy, even if sometimes they fall well short. But when you look around the other nations, and in particular China, there's none of that. And you can see what China did with Hong Kong once they got a hold of it. So I think we do need to be aligned, and I would love us to be part of AUKUS, and I would love us to have their nuclear warships and submarines visiting as a show of commitment and strength. In fact, I go further. I believe nuclear power is our clean, green future. So again, I'm way off course with what the traditional thinking is.
Right. I think it's worth noting also that Japan, that there's been speculation that Japan may also join at Pillar 2. That's something I didn't know until doing a quick research.
Well, now. Japan also has islands that China argues are theirs.
Yeah, it's the Senkaku Archipelago. Senkaku.
So, you know, they're very, very conscious of China. And, I mean, think of this. What would New Zealand do if China, God forbid, tried to take Taiwan?
What's the likelihood of that, in your opinion?
100%. They want it back. They consider it theirs. And I'm actually quite surprised that with President Biden in office and the confusion over his confused foreign policy, that they haven't had a crack.
Yeah. Another, I think the last thing to touch on here, I think this makes it, we'll probably need to develop this in another session, and there's other guests that we could bring on to talk about it. But in Australia and New Zealand, there are significant populations of Chinese, you know, through globalization and migration. How does that play into this? Because, you know, they don't all vote the same way, but where would their, you know, do you think that has become something that politicians have to start considering, if that's part of their voting base that keeps them in positions of power?
Oh, indeed. This is actually, you touched on a big topic, because you quickly discover when you're a New Zealand MP that there are two groups of Chinese in New Zealand. Those that are pro-Beijing and those that are anti. And you don't appreciate it. And you can make terrible mistakes. And so you literally have Chinese businesses and Chinese newspapers who are pro-Beijing. And you'll have newspapers and businesses that are anti. And typically, businesses that are doing business in China, that are Chinese, are very pro-Beijing because they don't want to upset it, but also because of their business, but also that's how they get their business. And then you have the dissidents. And I got myself on the Chinese embassy's blacklist by being associated with Chinese dissidents. The ACT Party had the first ever Asian MP with Kenneth Wang. And he was almost torn into pieces by the Chinese community, because how does he position himself? And they were very anxious to be on one side or the other. You couldn't straddle the fence. And you find that as a political party, and you find that as an MP. You also felt with an MP that people would come to see you who were from China, and you sometimes had a feeling that they were doing the government's bidding, not our government's bidding, but the Chinese government's bidding. Very, very fraught. Because also you are, it's part of this multiculturalism. How do you come from a country that does government a certain way and then arrive in a Westminster system and suddenly change? And I found myself aligned with the dissidents because they lined up with wanting freedom of the individual, governments able to be held to account by the citizens, and the rule of law. That's not how our Beijing swings. So, oh boy, you're dead right.
We've opened up a Pandora's box.
And indeed, you've got this issue of just business. Like, how do you get on with our agricultural interests, Fonterra, all the rest of it, who are heavily trying to trade in with China, and you upset the government, and the Chinese government could just say, oh, we're going to stop all that if you join AUKUS. So it's not easy. There's that real politic in international affairs where principles run up against not just political reality of votes, but also economic reality and tough trade-offs. For me, I believe in principle. I believe in standing up for what we'd call the principles of an open and free society, and that I'm happy to welcome anyone here from any country. I'm happy to trade with any country that will have us, but I actually believe that as a nation, we have to know what we stand for and what we stand against. And I don't think we've defined that at all clearly, either when we've had a left-wing government or when we've had a so-called conservative government. And I think we'd be the better for it if we did. Here we go. This is Tane Webster. If you've got any topics for us, send us a text, 2057. Email us, inbox@realitycheck.radio. Thanks, Tane.
Thanks, Rodney.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.